Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
Obviously, no Paul Feinbaum. We do have a bald man hosting today. Not Roman Harper, but myself, Cole Kubrick. We're going to be with you for the next few hours, talking everything SEC. Got a great guest lineup for you. A lot to discuss today. Roman, how are you?
I'm doing good. You doing well?
I'm doing great.
This thing out the park today.
Absolutely. I like the green.
Thank you.
Masters is coming up. Masters, okay.
A little bit of Philly love, too. Jalen Hurts, shout out.
Okay.
That's it. I can't mention anything else about that game.
I can't go past this with a former NFL defensive back here. Did you agree with the holding call at the end of the game?
So when I saw it live, I'm glad. Let's just go and get this out of the way. I saw it live, and I was that's a terrible call, especially when it happens. But at the end of the day, he held him. And I'm not going to defend it because Bradbury said at the end of the game, I held him. So how am I going to defend the guy that literally came out and said, hey, you got us? And I'm not going to defend it.
He admitted it. Okay, there you go. As Paul does every day, your headlines that we're going to get to across the course of the show. Start you off with last night on Rocky Top. Big one for Tennessee as the Vols find a little bit of offense finally and find a way to knock off Alabama, deliver Nate Oates his first loss in conference play this season. Just an impressive win last night, Roman. Tennessee felt like they were the more physical team, got into those passing lanes.
Yeah, they did.
I think it was 26 points off 18 Alabama turnovers, the most points off turnovers that Alabama has allowed this entire season. You didn't feel like Bama was going to be able to get through the entire conference schedule unscathed, and we knew Tennessee could play defense. It was just going to be a matter of them finding some offense to go along with it.
It was going to be really important that they didn't turn the ball over. In Alabama, it's going to come down to experience in the tournament time. You got to have guys making big shots in big moments. They did not have that last night. Tennessee played to the moment, and I guess just like football, this is always a good time for Tennessee to knock off a number one Alabama team. All right, next on the headlines, we have Florida's big loss in losing their leading scorer and third leading scorer in the SEC, Colin Castleton. He broke his hand last night in the game. He's also the leading SEC defender in blocks per game. So it affects you offensively and defensively. I don't know how Florida really recovers from this, and they've already struggled in majority of their basketball season.
Now, he is a massive presence in the paint. Speaking of presence, the Georgia Bulldogs, they're going to stick with the presence that has been in this spot before. And that is Mike Bobo being the offensive coordinator. Now, we know Coach Monken going to move on to be the offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. He had been exceptional for the Georgia Bulldogs. I still think one of the more underrated offensive coordinators in all of college football. Yeah. And we go back and see Mike Bobo, his previous time as an offensive coordinator. He's a bright offensive mind. My biggest question here, Roman, is the variety that you got from Todd Monken. The ability – we talk about going into the national championship game, and the way that I previewed the Georgia offense is you are going to have to defend everything.
Yep.
Every run, every formation, every motion, every protection, every screen. They carried everything. Will Mike Bobo be able to have that much variety?
Well, I think he'll take flavors of what they had success with the last few years under Todd Monken, and they will continue to add on to that. Without the quarterback, though, that's also a little caveat that we cannot leave without speaking on, is that you had a great quarterback the last 2 years carrying your offense and getting things done under the same kind of tutelage of Todd Monken. So I want to see how Georgia recovers, but the defense is clearly better. We looked at the numbers under Mike Bobo. Georgia's offense has always been capable with plenty of athletes and getting those guys in space. But defensively now, Georgia looks different. They feel different under Kirby Smart.
Yeah, and also with that schedule, it might take not more than a bunch of handoffs in a game for Georgia to win at least the first 10.
All right, down on the Plains, your school, Jacquees Hunter, is he ready to be a feature running back at Auburn? I think he is. He's heavy enough. He's made all the plays that you want to see out of your every down running back the last 2 years. Now Tank Bigsby moving on. I think he has all of the capabilities to be able to lead this team next year.
I think he's the guy at tailback for Auburn. Now, the good news is, and we see this all across college football and in the NFL, you don't have to have a guy anymore. Damari Alston's a freshman tailback that folks down on the Plains raved about last year, his practice habits, his mindset, and you saw him carry the ball a little bit, he was fine. And then Batty, who comes in from South Florida, I think gives you a different little bit of a change-up back that's going to be able to help out. Speaking of help, Nick Saban, always looking to add extra bodies to be able to help inside his football facility. Ken Wisenhunt has been added to the staff as a special assistant to Nick Saban. Nothing wrong with ever having a former brilliant NFL mind inside the building to be able to help you out.
Ken Wisenhunt is a dinosaur in the NFL ranks, right? He's been around since the 90s, probably before
that. Those are Roman's words, not mine.
He has been around a very long time. He's seen a lot of ball, probably more than any of us have ever known about. So anytime Nick can bring in more great minds into that program, I'm sure Alabama and everybody else around him can be happy about that.
A lot of folks like to doubt some of these minds that Nick Saban's brought in. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Name, image, likeness. It doesn't seem like we're ever going to get away from this. It's a daily conversation either about what folks are getting, not getting, and legally what is happening. Johnson versus the NCAA. Judges are asking the right questions of the college sports model. I'm just kind of wondering where this is headed. You see this tweet from Nicole Auerbach of The Athletic earlier. The only issue with this case is whether the NCAA is above the law. A judge pushes back on that. Lawyer says the argument is similar to Alston, that the NCAA is asking for special treatment that any other employer in America would not receive. Now, problem, NCAA, not necessarily an employer to college football players. Do we want to go there?
Cole, let's just jump right in. I am one of those that I don't know if I would particularly want to be considered an employer or an employee of a school I'm playing ball at. I want to be able to go to school there, earn my degree, and if I want to get some extra money on the side, that's up to me. I don't need everybody in my business. I don't need the W-9s, the W-2s. Now you're getting all into things that most college kids are not thinking or considering when you're talking about this case. I understand you want to get minimum wage payments whenever you're at that job or on campus when you're working out. You want to get paid for those hours. But understand, everything that you're asking for, you better be ready for when you get it on the other end of it.
You know one thing that every employee can be?
Fired.
Fired. I know contracts protect that sometimes, obviously. And this is, I know Ramogi Huma and the folks out west that are trying to make college football players, college athletes, employees of the university, they want this. They think this is a great idea. I just think you're going to look at a lot of different problems that are going to come with this. And let's just say, if we get to where Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee, Florida are employing college football players, employing gymnasts, employing basketball players, employing swimmers, is this college sports anymore?
No, it's not.
Is this collegiate athletics anymore?
No, it's not. And it's so weird because all these sports that you're talking about, not all of them make money. So when I'm talking about it as an employer, why am I employing these people that aren't making money, or are they really making me money on the other end of it when this one sport that kind of carries everything, now you're looking at all the – it's a lot of questions. And the deeper and deeper we dig into this whole NIL space that we're in right now, the more and more funk is going to come out of this groundwork. So it's only going to get worse, Cole, and I just don't know. I don't have the answers. This is going to get – I think it's going to get way uglier before it ever gets fixed.
Well, we got a couple guys from the SEC that are about to be employees, and they're going to make a lot of money doing so. Jordan Reed will preview the NFL draft. We'll talk specifically some of the quarterbacks coming out of this league. We have a lot of questions about a couple of guys that a lot of people think are going to be immediate answers for NFL franchises. Jason Campbell, a guy that I can tell you, Roman, did not know how to take a snap under center when he got to Auburn. I know that because he unfortunately could not take a snap for me when he first got to campus. Michael Pasquier is going to join us as well, LSU professor. We got to know about Mardi Gras, right?
This is the time of the year. My wife is right now at Mardi Gras handing out shoes on Muses Parade. So this involves my family a lot.
There we go. And we will learn more about Mardi Gras and the history of it. I don't know what we will learn from Matt Stinchcomb today at 5:30, but we're going to have him on nonetheless. One of the more entertaining guests that you could have on any platform. And then Charles Peanut Tillman will be with us. We'll talk a little podcast that he and Roman got going. And why not keep it all barn here since I'm on today? Ronnie Brown will join us at 6:30, former Auburn great at tailback, a part of the Auburn broadcast as well. Get his thoughts on Hugh Freeze's tenure so far and the future of the Auburn Tigers. When we come back, we will talk NFL draft with Jordan Reed next on the Paul Finebaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back in, Paul Finebaum Show. Cole Kublik, Roman Harper, sitting in with you today. We're going to jump right into it. Talk some football. Jordan Reed, ESPN NFL draft analyst, joining us now on the phones. Draft, obviously, our next big point of contention as it comes to the NFL. And Jordan, we're going to talk a lot of quarterbacks. I'm just going to start with Bryce Young. Love his game. Love everything about his game. Love what he's capable of doing. But are we going to get to a point where we really begin to critique the size of Bryce Young? And do you think that can be a legitimate knock as far as where he comes off the board?
Yeah, and it really just depends on which team you talk to. Starting at the top with the Chicago Bears, I don't think they have a need at quarterback with Justin Fields. I think they're locked and loaded there as far as him being the guy in the future. He still has plenty to prove, especially from a passing standpoint. But I think the race for the quarterback begins with number two, with the Houston Texans, and they have a huge need there. An Alabama alum, I know Roman will love hearing that, and D'Amico Ryan's newly named head coach there. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see which direction that they go as far as if they're going to build up that defense first, or if he says, I want to go ahead and get my franchise guy, with them having two first-round selections. But with Bryce Young, he's my QB1 at this point right now, and the thing about him is that he just has an innate ability and just a natural feel for playing the position. We saw what he was able to do in his historic Heisman Trophy race run when he won it last year. But last year, I think this past season was better than the season before. And I say that because, yes, it's Alabama, but their offensive line and their weapons weren't accustomed to what we were seeing. But we saw what Bryce Young was able to do when he had guys like Jameson Williams and John Metchie on the edge or on the perimeter. So he's my QB1 right now, and I'm really interested to see where he goes. He's listed at 6 foot tall and 194 pounds, but we all know we're going to be waiting for numbers come in at the combine.
I think I just saw him over this past weekend at the Super Bowl, and he is growing his hair just to answer that problem for all you guys that are going to be out there questioning his height, which we all know is coming. Now, Jordan, I know your opinion and your feelings on Anthony Richardson at quarterback, how much you love this guy before last season and probably through this season as well, all the way up into the draft. With that being said, which quarterback out of all of the top 4 to 5 guys, which, what, 4 out of the 5 are all SEC quarterbacks, has the highest ceiling, or and which one has the lowest floor?
I think the highest ceiling, I actually would go with Anthony Richardson, just because if you think about all the young quarterbacks that have entered the game lately, whether it's Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, some of these other guys that we have seen, it's a mobile quarterback's game now. And the great thing about mobile quarterbacks is that when you have those legs, you can kind of use that as a leeway to win, or they can use that leeway to catch up as a passer. And we're seeing that in this present day now with Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is a great example of the carbon copy that you want to use, or the blueprint that you want to use for Anthony Richardson. Now, the slippery slope with Anthony Richardson is that I think a lot of people are getting it mixed up as far as the difference between him being raw and then also inexperienced. And I don't even count the 2021 season when he started some games, just because him and Emory Jones, they went back and forth, and there were some situations where he didn't even know which series he was going to take snaps in. So I don't even count that first season that he was at Florida. This past season, I thought he showed a lot of promise, but there was some games of where he just made some boneheaded mistakes. And the best thing, or the best phrase that I can use with Anthony Richardson to sum up his entire scouting report, is that he's consistently inconsistent. But there's some that make you go, wow, like we saw in the Utah game where he was absolutely phenomenal. But then you go and watch games like Florida State and then some of these others, the second half, I should say, of Florida State, where he throws 11 straight incompletions. So accuracy is something that's going to be a big question mark about, but he has to go to a situation where there's consistency with the coaching position, especially at quarterback coach, and then also offensive coordinator. But also you have to have a team that's going to be patient with him. But also with Richardson, everybody's saying that he needs to sit his first or second season, but I think he needs to play. That's the only way that he's going to learn. He's not going to be able to learn the game or the speed of the game sitting on the bench. So whichever team that selects him, they have to be patient with him, but he has all the physical traits that you want at the position.
Well, if that's the case, Jordan, I hope the team that takes him has been paying attention to what I pay attention to, and that's the big boys up front, because he'll need some protection if that's the case. I felt like this was going to be a weak offensive line draft until we got through Senior Bowl week, and now I hear more and more names that sound like they're going to be able to potentially sneak into the first round. I don't feel like there's a large handful of SEC guys that could sneak into the first round. Give us a couple SEC offensive linemen that you like, and how many do you potentially see coming off the board in round one?
Oh, I see three offensive tackles coming off the board in the first round. The highest rated SEC offensive lineman right now for me would be Broderick Jones, the offensive tackle from Georgia, and he's a player that I got to see up close this season. He's about 6'5", 315 pounds, but he's really lean. He has that body capacity of where he can probably put on 10 to 15 more pounds and be 330 pounds and not even look like it. So he's just a naturally gifted pass protector. He has some things that he needs to clean up from a run game standpoint. He has a tendency to duck his head a little bit more than you would like, but I just think he needs to gain some strength. But you talk about somebody that's just a naturally gifted pass protector, he's going to be that walking through the door. And he only started four games a year ago off that national title run, the first national title, I should say, but he took over that left tackle spot. And, I mean, he was absolutely phenomenal last year. So Broderick Jones will be my highest rated guy right now. And then the other two that are contention to be first rounders are Peter Skoronski of Northwestern, and then also Paris Jr.
Jordan, all right, I just don't understand it. And that's because I'm a DB at heart, and we never get drafted as high as we should be. Quarterbacks always get overdrafted. And why am I not hearing enough love for cornerback Emmanuel Forbes from Mississippi State? Like, what else could he do in his college career to put him at the top of the draft boards? I hear Cam Smith, I hear Brian Branch, all these names going up in the first round for SEC guys. But what's up with my man who probably played the best out of every defensive back or every defender in all of the SEC last year?
I'm right there with you. I don't understand.
Good. Okay.
If I had to guess right now, I mean, he's just a natural ball hawk. 14 interceptions, has the SEC record for pick sixes. Now, he is a little bit thin. That's what scouts are saying. There were some people that said he played around 175 pounds a year ago, which is a bit light, so he does need to gain some weight, but he does have the body capacity to where he can gain that 10 plus pounds. It's just a matter of keeping that speed and that technique, and then also that hip fluidity. But I'm right there with you, Roman. I think he's going to be a late first round pick if I had to guess right now, but I think he's very, very underrated in this class.
I agree.
I know this, the dude can cover.
He plays off coverage, he plays press.
He can cover.
I don't see many corners in college that can play off coverage and zero man-to-man coverage and play press, and you don't see any drop-off in his game. Somebody like Keely Ringo, who we all love his size, speed, and ability combination, but he's a guy that only plays press, and that it's more intuitive that he goes to the right situation versus a corner who, like Emmanuel Forbes, you can plug and play in all 32 teams. He's going to be the exact same player.
Yeah, this corner class is really interesting. I think of any position, I think we may see the most go in the first round, especially, you know, guys like, we're not even mentioning guys like Eli Ricks, who I think could go somewhere late day two, who I think is going to outperform his draft slot very quickly. And then there's some plenty of other players as well. I love Brian Branch. I love him. I think he could be, I would take him in the top 20. That's how much I like him, even though he plays primarily that nickel spot. I think he's flexible enough and has the versatility to where you can play him at free safety too. So I think the world of this cornerback class, and I think we could see as many as five or six go in the first round.
Jordan, I put the Sugar Bowl on the other day, and I was watching it again. I want to just kind of go take a look at some of those younger Alabama kids. And I was watching the Alabama offense. I want to see Tyler Booker and some of the younger backs. And I just kept marveling not only at Bryce Young, but also Jahmyr Gibbs. And it kind of brought me to this question. Is it in concrete? Is it stamped right now in stone that Bijan Robinson's the best available running back in this draft?
Oh, I've been saying this since I love Bijan, but Jahmyr is special. Like, I put up a tweet yesterday that he's a Corvette. Like, he can go back to zero in an instant. And everybody's saying that he reminds him of Alvin Kamara, but the player that I see is Jamal Charles. They're the same exact size, 5'11", 200 pounds. He's not going to be that 215, 220 range that Kamara was at the combine a few years ago. And he's not as thick as Kamara either. Kamara has a really thick lower half, and I don't think he has the contact balance that Kamara has either. But as far as the versatility, you can use him in the slot. You can flex him out wide. You can put him in mismatches against linebackers or nickel guys. But also, outside zone scheme, just use that stretch scheme and let him go. He just has a different gear. He has a different burst than any other back in this draft class. So I don't think he's going to be the first one to go, just because I don't think he's as well-rounded or as a 1A back as Bijan Robinson is. But, I mean, if he ends up being the best back from this draft class, that would not surprise me at all.
Jordan, tell me this. Did anybody make a better decision than Drew Sanders by transferring into the University of Arkansas last year and all of a sudden now really bursting onto the scene and showing everybody that he has the capability to not only rush the passer, but be effective inside linebacker as well?
Yeah, I love the way that Arkansas used him. They not only put him at Mike, but they rushed him off the edge a little bit too. And that's just the versatility that you get with Drew Sanders. The Alabama tape, I thought he was phenomenal in that game. That was one of my favorite games that he played this year. You're seeing just how physical he is. He can step downhill and close in an instant. He can get out. He can turn the hips and cover. But also, he's experienced as a defensive end off of the edge, too, and you can blitz him up the middle as well. So, Drew Sanders, I think he's in contention to be probably a top 25 pick right now. It wouldn't surprise me if he's the first linebacker off the board. I think it's between him and Trenton Simpson of Clemson as far as being the first player at that position off of the board in the first round.
Two linebackers with a lot of versatility, a lot of speed. You have to have both to play in today's NFL. Jordan, great stuff. Thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy this process. It's fun building up for the draft. Look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys, as always.
Appreciate it, Jordan. Jordan Reed, NFL draft analyst, joining us. We will go to break. Be back with more next right here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Lane Kiffin, Shane Beamer, Josh Heupel. Welcome back in to those listening via radio. Taking a look at our SEC Football Media Days schedule. That day right there, just with Lane and Beamer, Roman, that'll give us enough to last the rest of the day, if not for the next few weeks, the quotes that'll come from those two.
Well, you know, the thing is you think that, but Lane Kiffin is only super exciting on Twitter. I think when he gets in front of the podium, it's kind of he gives us the dull version of himself.
Lane, I think you're exciting in person. I enjoy meeting with you. 855-242-7285 if you would like to be a part of the show. Let's go to JK in Alabama. Welcome into the show, JK.
Well, hey, what's up, stranger? Mr. Cole Kubrick.
How you doing?
Man, I can't complain about that. How about that Alabama Crimson Tide? Number one for 40 minutes. I love it. They went all the way to Knoxville and got a voluntary butt kicking.
Which fake Twitter handle are you using today, Bama hater?
Wait, what'd you say?
Which of your 11 Twitter handles are you using today to tweet into the show?
I only have one smart guy.
Okay.
Hey, let me ask you a question since you're on a national radio show about your local show. Why you guys never talk about the Brett Favre situation? But you talked about Jameis Winston and crab legs, and you talked about Michael Vick and dogs, and talked about Kaepernick kneeling in protest of police killing unarmed citizens. But you won't talk about Brett Favre or the Jay Barker situation with pleading guilty for manslaughter.
Yeah, I thought Tennessee played great last night, Roman. Brought some physicality, played well in the paint. We mentioned it at the top of the show. Really did a nice job getting in the middle of those Alabama passing lanes, forcing turnovers. The effort was fine from Alabama, but I thought some of the passes were maybe a little bit lazy, a little bit lackadaisical in that department for the Crimson Tide.
Not only that, but sometimes you got to make a shot to stop a run. You got to make some shots to make Tennessee take the basket out from underneath, right? You got to do that sometimes. Alabama had chances when the game was close, within eight, within six for a very long time, within three at some points in time in that second half, and they were never able to make that run that you're traditionally used to seeing from this Alabama basketball team all year long. And Cole, one more thing. Is JK your neighbor? Because, I mean, you guys act – that was – he seemed like he knew you.
Well, he's a regular for Mackerel and Cubic in the morning.
Okay,
on
okay.
When Alabama loses at something, okay, though. Otherwise, he's nowhere to be found.
That seems...
Specifically, when Miami lost to Middle Tennessee this year, we put the GPS out on him and no one could find where he was. We'll go to Dustin in Tulsa on line two. Welcome into the show, Dustin.
Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to the Paul Feinbaum show.
Thanks for having us.
Cole, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Cole, first of all, I want to begin to apologizing to you personally for the weather in Fayetteville last year during the Ole Miss game. I was at that game, and man, it was freezing, but it was a hell of a good game. I loved watching our team beat the hell out of Lane Kiffin and the Rebels.
A lot of folks didn't like the broadcast of that game. I personally enjoyed it, and it was chilly, but I had a heated vest thanks to those guys at Bandit. So that was that kept us warm. And then some of the Arkansas fans were nice enough to let us sit in their little on-field suite right there. So Jordan and I stayed warm that way.
You know, I'd like to think that we're one of the more accommodating and nicer fan bases. I'd certainly rather hang out with us than I would, you know, hang out in Baton Rouge, but that's here nor there. I wanted to talk to both of you guys very briefly and get your take on injuries and downtime, things like that. As a Razorbacks fan, I saw what everybody was hoping would be a 10-win season go to a 6-win season fast, you know, but we only lost four of those games by 9 points, and it seems like it kind of centered around KJ getting hurt, missing Mississippi State and LSU, struggled versus Liberty, you know, and we have other injuries. You know, Catalan goes out first game, Slusher's hurt. Bumper pool plays hurt during the year. For a team like Arkansas that's that thin, you know, like when KJ goes out, you got to count on Malik Hornsby. Not trying to trash Malik Hornsby, but I was at the LSU game too, and that was no treat to watch. When a team like Bama or Georgia has a position player like that go down, they can go and grab a backup that would be a starter on anybody else's team. How much of a problem is, you know, a consequential injury like that to a team like Arkansas? And outside of just the simple answer of simply recruiting, how do they get around that? How do they add some depth, especially with the NIL making everyone think that they're entitled to be a starter and everyone thinks that they're entitled to tons of playing time? What's the answer there?
Yeah, Dustin, great question. Thanks for the call. And I wouldn't say that it's just automatic. Look at Alabama when Jalen Milroe had to come in, and I would actually put Hornsby and Milroe in a similar category. Yes. Roman, maybe a little bit more athlete than quarterback right now. And so you have to alter your offense. You have to do different things around that. And I don't think there's any doubt that when KJ Jefferson was not even when he was out, when he wasn't 100%, right, Arkansas had a different football team.
Yes.
Because all of a sudden, you don't have to defend that quarterback run on the backside. Rocket Sanders doesn't have as clean of holes to be able to run through. And there were some other injuries that affected that team. So I think it's big. And the developmental part is the first thing that comes to mind. But you can't develop when guys are leaving. That's where the NIL part comes in.
Well, depth is always a concern on any team, in any program, especially nowadays with the transfer portal so relevant. And before we even talk about NIL, it's guys just want to play. And guys think they have, and somebody's told them how great they are when they were in another school and when they were getting recruited out of high school. And so they always feel that you know, fear of other options out there. So that's what they're always trying to get to. And they feel like leaving sometimes is better than actually staying and working it through. And I got to be honest with you, the grass is not always greener on the other side. We see that so many times throughout this transfer portal process that we've seen in this kind of industry we're in right now. The other thing I would also say, just kind of add on, piggyback off what you said, not only was the KJ Jefferson a huge issue when he was not in because of how much it affected offense, Arkansas secondary was the biggest letdown at times last year. They could not keep the ball in front of them, and tackling must be better. If you guys tackle better next year, then I can expect better wins for Arkansas next year. So that's what I'm looking at and leaning on, is tackling in the offseason for Arkansas.
But it's not like there's no development. You know, Cody Glenn does a great job with the offensive line. Ricky Stromberg was fantastic at center last year. And how about Matt Landers? He was great at wide receiver.
He was.
We heard about Matt Landers in practice at Georgia, it felt like a decade ago. Then he goes to Toledo with Jason Candle, and he can't really get anything done. And then he's a legit one for Arkansas. So Sam Pittman, those guys, they still know how to develop, and they will develop. Do you like the Dan Enos hire quickly? I think from a quarterback perspective, this could be great for KJ Jefferson.
I think KJ Jefferson is at his best as long as they allow him to use his legs. Some guys, some quarterbacks kind of get their mojo going when he runs first. And he's one of those guys. So when he had the shoulder injury, he was not able to run the ball as effectively because he didn't want to get hit on it. And sometimes it's hard to just get just the rhythm in throwing the football, especially in the offense that it was last year. So whatever they do with that, I think it has a lot to do with KJ Jefferson's legs. We'll determine how this offense goes this year.
Let's go to Jason in Alabama, line two. Jason, welcome into the show.
All right, good to talk to you. We got the Iron Bowl of TV host today, I guess, haven't we?
That's it. I mean, I don't really allow the whole Iron Bowl of basketball and gymnastics because it's a football game, but since we both played football, I guess I'll allow it.
Well, that Skyman and Bama hater, why is it when their teams are down, they got to diss Alabama? You know, Alabama lose one game, and they can't talk about their teams. They got to diss Alabama. It's like they're so jealous of Alabama that that's all they got to do is down them. That's kind of mad to talk about how good Auburn was this year when he calls.
I don't think he wants to bring that up. I still think Auburn's having a fine season. I mean, that was an impressive performance they had against Missouri the other night. If I were Bama hater, I'd be happy with Isaiah Wong and some of the other guys. What Miami's doing on the basketball court right now, running through the ACC, they're having a heck of a year. But you know, I guess that's why he calls himself Bama hater. He wants to hate. He's going to find something to hate on. All right, we're going to go to a break. When we come back.
I love this show already. This is like this is why I showed up, Cole. I'm literally here for the hater raid and the calls. I'm all about it.
That's the only thing? I think we're going to have plenty of both. Don't worry about that. We'll get to more of those next right here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back in. Paul Feinbaum Show, Cole Kubik and Roman Harper sitting in for Paul today, and we've already hit on a lot of different things. A lot of those thanks to you. So we're just going to go back to the phones. 855-242-7285. Larry in Shelby County. Welcome into the show, Larry.
Hey, man. You're the best of the best, brother. Y'all the best of the best.
Appreciate
that. You got the best, you get the bestest best.
We'll take it.
But anyway, yeah, JK, man, he's something. You know, I think about that boy. I mean, he is hurt. But every time I see that goofy picture of him, I see them colors, I think about 92 when Bama just trounced that ass, you know.
Yep.
And
yep.
Geno Torello.
George Teague, Antonio Langham.
Seen 11 men on the line of scrimmage. But I'm going to tell you, I text, and I use a lot of abbreviations. And JK, to me, when you text, is like jackass. And then I text something else, is FK. So FK, JK. You know what I mean?
We feel you, Larry. I speak text, so we're good. Yep. Thanks for the call. Did you follow that one? Don't say it on the air, but yeah.
I think I can't wait. I just want to see all the collar beef. That's what I'm here for. I'm all about that.
We can get that going.
You know what I mean? I would love to see that. We get some more things going. I mean, this is what I'm here for, Cole. I'm all about the drama all the time.
I'll explain it to you in the break. I speak text. So, Rick in Houston, you're on the phones. What's up, Rick?
Hey, Cole, Roman, great to see you guys on today.
Absolutely.
Wanted to talk to you about what you think about LSU next year, specifically if you think there will be much of a battle between Jaden Daniels and Nussmeier.
Okay. I'll let you run, Rick, and we'll answer that for you. I appreciate the call. I'm glad he brought up LSU, Roman, because I have some thoughts on LSU, a couple things. Two main points here. One, do I think that there's going to be a real quarterback battle? No. I think Jaden Daniels takes this thing, and it's going to be his. There's a couple things about LSU, though. One, think about all the new offensive coordinators in the league that we've got. I think we have 9. All the new starting quarterbacks in the league that we're going to have. They don't have to worry about either one of those.
No, they don't.
They got 2 big boy tackles. They might have the best returning group of wide receivers. Now, not pass catchers. Why? Because I know Brock Bowers, people are going to get mad. But wide receivers, they may have the best group returning. You can make that argument. And then if you flip to the other side of the ball, I ask you this question. How many SEC defensive players are you really scared of going into this season? Because I can give you at least 2 at LSU that I know we are.
I agree with you. LSU has 2 guys that are very scary on defense in Mason Smith and Harold Perkins Jr., who is just a monster. My only concern for LSU is this, is that how does LSU handle success? And the fact of you are now the hunted. When LSU this past year was able to fly under the radar, they lost to Florida State, everybody said they were done. And all of a sudden, all they did was just continue to win, stay under the radar. And all of a sudden, they beat Alabama. And now LSU was here, and they were back. And now everybody had these expectations of what LSU was supposed to be. And then all of a sudden, you saw the struggles. You saw some games where they didn't look good offensively versus Arkansas, when Arkansas couldn't stop anybody for the 3 weeks before that.
Fair.
And all of a sudden, LSU lost a couple games at the end, and they were not the team that we wanted them to be when they showed up to the SEC championship. Not only that, but they played great the first quarter in the SEC championship and just couldn't finish. So for me, it's going to be about how do they finish next year, knowing that they will not be able to fly under the radar. They're not going to sneak up on anybody, and they have to replace some pieces in that secondary as well. And I know what they like to do in the secondary with some quarters, some other match principles that they do. Really great defensive design. But how do you continue to replace those guys that you're probably losing that were experienced and the transfer portal that they got in from last year?
It's really weird that we're talking about all these things we like about LSU and none of them are running back or DB. Because that's usually everything that we love about LSU.
LSU is all DB all the time.
But I'm going to say Mason Smith is going to be a hammer. Mason Smith can line up at 0 nose. He can go line up outside the tackle and rush the passer. Hated to see the fact that he got injured early last year. He was going to have a big year. Thought Mekhi Wingo may have been the most underrated player in the SEC last year.
Transfer from Missouri, yes.
He and Ricky Stromberg, I thought, and actually I think Ray Davis, who's going to be at Kentucky next year, Vanderbilt running back, those were my 3 most underrated players in the league last year. So the front's going to be great for LSU. Matt House does a great job with that defense. Perkins is almost, I hate doing it, Troy Polamalu-ish, where he can just line up and just do different things. He can do a little bit of everything. So then you got Will Campbell, you got Emory Jones, 2 great tackles. You got another big-time tackle coming in. Quarterback set, receiver set. Mike Denbrock got that offense going. Here's the cool thing about LSU, and you tell me what you thought about this. Everybody said after 3-4 weeks, oh, they're getting so much better. I didn't really think they got better. I just think they figured things out.
I did.
They figured out who they were. It wasn't guys that didn't know how to play ball, and they figured out how to play ball. They just had to figure out who they were and what they had. And here comes Mason Taylor, a tight end. Emory Jones, oh, he likes to run the football? Let's design some run plays. Oh, he likes to get it out quick? I think we had him against Southern, and there was a statistic from the first game that when the play clock had, I believe, 19 or more seconds on it, he was like 82%. And under that, he was like 22%. So what do? We go fast. There you go. You just figure it out. All right, let's go to Will in North Carolina. Welcome into the show, Will.
What's going on, you guys?
So, Will.
I got a question and a favor, but before I get to that, I'm a huge Carolina Panthers fan, so it's awesome to be talking to Roman Harper, and by no means are you chopped liver, Cole.
It's okay. I'll take the back seat to Roman today.
I appreciate those 2 years that you actually put on silver and gold instead of black and gold. I appreciate that that you've done for the Panthers getting to the Super Bowl. But let me get to my question real quick before I need to ask y'all a favor, too. My question is, I mean, this is a question of the century. Who wins the arm wrestling match between Taquio Spikes or Tim Tebow?
I'm going Spikes because that's my teammate.
I'm totally going Taquio. Like, I feel like Taquio would bite Tim's head off.
Spikes has knocked me out. Tim hasn't, like, so I'll go Spikes there. Easy.
All right. Okay.
Got to hustle, favorite, Will.
My favorite is for the rest of the afternoon when Legend calls in and you ask him a question for me. You ask him if he's getting tired of hearing Dixieland a lot this past season when he comes to Tennessee. To quote Pedro Martinez, tip my hat and call the Volunteers my daddy. Thank you.
We will try to remember exactly how to ask him that. When we come back, we'll talk a little more Auburn spring practice and a new role for an Auburn all-time great. Jason Campbell will be with us
that
on the other
great smile
side
too.
Of the break. Look at that.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.